Is Menachos Daf Tzadi Vav. We left off on Daf Tzadi Heyam and Beis at the two dots, about three, 4 lines before the lines get wide. Daf Tzadi Heyam and Beis. So we had a discussion in the Mishnah. The Mishnah toward the top of Tzadi Heyam and Beis said that the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Apanim, the Lisha and the Aricha, are done b'chutz, but the Afia is done b'fnim, and it's not Toch HaShabbos. Rabbi Huda says everything is done b'fnim. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Shtei Lechem, Lechem Apanim are ksheros b'azar, ksheros b'beis pagi. Meaning it doesn't need to be done b'fnim, it could even be done b'chutz, that is ksheros b'beis pagi. So there is this machlokas, Rabbi Yudin and Rabbi Shimon, about whether the Shtei Lechem and Lechem Apanim need to be baked b'fnim, or it could be even afiyasan b'chutz. It could even be baked chutz, outside of the Azara, throughout the entire Yerushalayim. That's what b'beis pagi would indicate, the entire Yerushalayim. That's the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yavo Bar Kahana v'shnein mikra echa darshu, even though it's a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they both derive their shitos from the same pasuk, whether it requires afia bifnim or not. What's the pasuk? The pasuk is in describing a story of when David was running away from Shaul, when Shaul wanted to kill David, and David was seeking refuge in Nov Ira Kohanim. He was starving, and he went to Nov Ira Kohanim, and no one realized what exactly was going on during in the relationship between Shaul and David at the time. So Achimelech, certainly the Kohen, didn't have any idea what was going on. So he said, David, how could it be a general of your stature? You're traveling alone. What's going on over here? Where's your entourage? Where's your people? And he said, oh, I'm on a secret mission from Shaul. He lied to them. He said, I'm on a secret mission. Because if he says I'm wanted by the king, so they'd be married by Malchus to harbor a criminal. So he said, I'm on a secret mission from the Melech. I'm not allowed to tell you about it, but I need food. And they gave him the Lechem Apanim, and sure enough, he managed to escape. Shaul heard that David was there. Shaul went and killed out the entire city of Nov Ira Kohanim, because Shaul believed that they knew that he was running away from Shaul, and they were protecting him anyway. So Shaul killed out the entire city of Nov Ira Kohanim. That was one of the very, very dark days in Shaul's Malchus, was killing out Nov Ira Kohanim. One of the Tehillim fun facts is that Kapitel Nun Beis in Tehillim, Nun Beis is about the city of Nov, is about David's experience, the city of Nov. Nun Beis, Nov, it's an easy way to remember it. But anyway, so in that story, David tells the people in Nov, the Kohanim, V'hu derechol, af ki ayom yikdash b'kli. So what exactly does he mean when he says that? V'hu derechol, af ki ayom yikdash b'kli. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what happened was as follows. B'chol ashkechim d'kafule. David found that they were baking the Lechem Apanim on Erev Shabbos. So Amarlu, he said to them, you're baking it on Erev Shabbos, derech chol ka'afi sulei. You're baking the Lechem Apanim derech chol on Friday. Af ki ayom yikdash b'kli, if saleh belina. Well, if it's going to get kedusha b'kli now, well, then it's going to become pasul belina. So are you sure you're doing the right thing? It's going to be pasul belina l'macher, the next day when you put it on the shulchan, it's already going to be pasul belina. So what do you see? That the tanur is mekadesh, according to David. David was telling them the tanur is already mekadesh, and it's and therefore it should be docha Shabbos. You shouldn't do this on chol. So Rabbi Shimon Savar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, you're reading the pasuk wrong. What happened in the pasuk is that b'Shabbos ashkechinu d'ka'afule. He found that they were baking it on Shabbos, not on Friday. So Amar Lahu, so David HaMelech said to them, lo derech chol b'yisulim evdei. Don't you need to do this derech chol? Shouldn't you do this not on Shabbos? Midi tanur mekadesh. Why, you think the tanur is mekadesh it? And that's why you need to do this on Shabbos, because if you were to do it on chol, it would already become kadosh and therefore pasul belina by the time Shabbos came along. No, the tanner is not mekadesh. Shulchan hu de mekadesh. It's the shulchan that's mekadesh. So why do you have to bake it on Shabbos? It should not be docha Shabbos. You should bake it on Friday. So that's the machlokas, Rabbi Shimon. What exactly David HaMelech was saying, depending on how you understand the background to the story. Did he find them on Friday, or did he find them baking it on Shabbos? So frankly, Gemara Mima Tzamer to Bishas Afia Ashkechinu. But anyway, is it possible that David found them at the time that they were baking the breads? V'aksiv v'yitin l'akoyin kodesh ki lo hayasham lechem ki im lechem apanim hamusarim ilfnei Hashem. Pasuk says that he gave him lechem kodesh because they had nothing else other than the lechem apanim. So it can't be that he was finding them baking the bread at that time, because it says it was lechem apanim hamusarim ilfnei Hashem that they had to take from ilfnei Hashem, from the shulchan, that were taken off of the shulchan. That you're not taking it off of the shulchan when you're baking the bread. That's at a much you take it off the shulchan much later, a week later. So it doesn't sound at all that David found them baking the bread. Elamai derechol de karmer lehu. What did he mean when he said derechol? Halchi ka amrulei. They said to David, lek alechem kiim lechem apanim musarim lefnei Hashem. They said, look, all we've got to feed you is the lechem apanim that just came off of the shulchan, and the lechem apanim that comes off of the shulchan, the alech is you're supposed to give to kohanim. We're not supposed to give it to you. So that's all we've got. So if you're hungry, but look, that's all we have. This is when they gave him, in this story, they not only gave him lechem apanim, they gave him Goliath's sword also. They figured he was entitled to it because he defeated Goliath, so he had a weapon as well. But anyway, they said to him, there is no lechem apanim except for nothing to feed you except for the lechem apanim that was already taken off of the shulchan from last week. So Amar Lahu, so David HaMelech responded, halachik tshuva lomi by a high dekiven denafik lemi meila derecholhu. Not only are you permitted to give me this, which since it's no longer subject to meila, it's considered derechol, and therefore it's totally permissible to give to me. Ela afilu hech nami dahayom mikdash bekli. Even the other bread that today you were mekadish bekli, that you put on the shulchan just today, havalei delechol masukanu. You would even be permitted to give me that, even though it's still kadosh and it's still on the shulchan. Still, you'd be allowed to give it to me because I'm masukan, because I'm dangerously ill. So as Rashi explains, she'achzu bulmus, he was seized by this disease called bulmus, and he needed to eat. Gemara in Yuma says someone who has bulmus, they're allowed to eat even a Yom Kippur. So David HaMelech says, of course you're allowed to feed it to me, even if it were directly from the Shulchan. I'm not even asking for that bread, but Kal V'Chomer, you're allowed to give me the bread that's no longer on the Shulchan. So that's what David HaMelech was really telling them about Derech Chol, that it's no longer Kadosh. That's what he means. Chol as opposed to Kadosh. Not Chol as opposed to Shabbos, not Friday as opposed to Shabbos. So then, where do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon get their respective shitos? For Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, b'gemara pligi, they just have different traditions. One had a tradition that the Tanur is mekadesh. One had a tradition that the Tanur is not mekadesh. So they just argue about that. Dekanami and the Tzmaduyik and the Mishnah as well, that they're arguing about whether the Tanur is that their argument about whether the Tanur is mekadesh relates to just what their tradition was and nothing more than that, not any diukim from psukim, is the katani, the fact that the Mishnah has a very unusual wording for Rabbi Shimon. That Rabbi Shimon Omer li olam have ragil lomar shtei alechem lachpanim ksheros bazar ksheros habeis pagi. That Rabbi Shimon doesn't just say a shita, he says a person should be ragil lomar. What's ragil lomar? Ragil lomar is that it must be that it's a tradition, not based on any pasuk. If it was a pasuk, it's not ragil lomar. Quote a pasuk. The fact that it's ragil lomar says, no, you should keep on this tradition. Keep this tradition going that I have from my rebbeim, that the shtei lechem lechem apanim are ksheros bazar and ksheros habeis pagi. So shema mina, that's how we know that clearly they're arguing about what their tradition was, but there's no machlokas within how to read the psukim by David and Novi Arakoanim have nothing to do with anything. Fine, new Mishnah. So the last Mishnah discussed the shtei lechem and lechem apanim, which parts were done bifnim and which parts are done bechutz. This Mishnah is going to discuss the Chavite Kohen Gadol. Says the Mishnah, Chavite Kohen Gadol, Lishasan v'arichasan v'afiyasan bifnim. The kneading of the dough, the arranging of the dough, the baking of the dough, that's all done bifnim, v'dochos es haShabbos, and all of that can be done on Shabbos. So that's those are the parts that are allowed to be done on Shabbos. Tchinasan v'harkadasan eino dochos es haShabbos, but the grinding of the flour and the sifting of the flour, that may not be done on Shabbos. Klal omer Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva gives a rule which seems to reinforce what the Tanakhama says, and that doesn't seem to argue at all, that Rabbi Kiva seems to reinforce this saying as follows: Kol melacha she'efshar la'asos me'erev Shabbos ein adochas ha'Shabbos, v'she'efshar la'asos me'erev Shabbos dochas ha'Shabbos. Any melacha that you could have done on erev Shabbos with equal effectiveness, and it's not going to ruin anything by doing it so far in advance, so then you have no excuse to do it on Shabbos. But any melacha that you could not do on erev Shabbos and can only be done on Shabbos, so then you're allowed to do such melachos on Shabbos. Good. So that's halacha number one of the Mishnah, is which elements of the Chavite Kohen Gadol could be done on Shabbos, which elements of the Chavite Kohen Gadol cannot be done on Shabbos. So Rashi writes that the Chavite Kohen Gadol, since they are mechalik to in the midas chatzi isaron, in the half isaron measuring cup, so l'divrei kol it's nimshach, and that's why you need asiyaso b'fnim, because it becomes kadosh when you put it in the chatzi isaron. So you see that from there you see why it's docha Shabbos. Because if the chatzi isaron is nimshach, which is means it's a klisha race, so if you were to do the lisha and aricha on erev Shabbos, that would mean that by the time Shabbos rolled around, it was already possible lina. That's why you needed to do the lisha and aricha on Shabbos. If you do it on erev Shabbos, it already becomes kadosh, and therefore it's going to become possible lina. So the Mikdash David just raises the following question. We had a gemara earlier in Daf Nun Aleph where Rava says that based on the fact that the pasuk says bechavite kohen gadol al machavas, we see that you need to bake the chavite kohen gadol in a kli shares, and therefore the baking is docha Shabbos, because if you were to bake it on erev Shabbos in a kli shares, it would become kadosh already, and then it would be nifsal belina. So the Mikdash David just asks, why does Rava need this drush of al machvas to tell me that the baking has to be done on Shabbos? Of course the baking has to be done on Shabbos, because you have to divide up the chatzi yisaron, you have to put it into the chatzi yisaron, which is nimshach, which is already going to be mekadesh before the baking. So it's not only the baking that's docha Shabbos, the lisha and the aricha are already docha Shabbos. Meaning, obviously, if the lisha and aricha are being done on Shabbos, because it's already kadosh, because you're afraid of a psul lina, so mela, the baking is going to be done on Shabbos. So why do you need a special pasuk of al machvas? So Mikdash David says since the chatzi yisaron is nimshach, that alone would not have been enough to say that it should be docha Shabbos. Because in order not to be mechal Shabbos, we would have just said don't use klei kodesh to measure it out. We would have said use a medida and a klei chol in order that it shouldn't become kadosh and it shouldn't be subject to the psul lina, and let the alisha and aricha be done on Erev Shabbos, in a different kli, in a kli chol, in a kli that didn't have kedusha. It's only once we learn that you're already baking it on Shabbos anyway. It's only once we have Rava's drash on Daf Nun Aleph that anyway you're going to bake it on Shabbos. So anyway, it's nitan lidchos, that Shabbos is nitan lidchos for the chavite kohen gadol from the pasuk of al machvas. Only then you have to say that once you're baking on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos itself, will be matir to be modeid and to divide it into the chatzi yisaron on Shabbos as well, and use the klei shares. But had it only been for the medida b'chatzi yisaron, we would have been very happy to say, don't do that in a klei shares, and then you won't need to be docha Shabbos. So says Mikdash David, based on that we understand the chilik between the chavite kohen gadol and the shtei lechem, lechem apanim. Why is it that the lisha and the aricha, the lechem apanim, is not docha Shabbos, and the lisha, the chavite kohen gadol, is docha Shabbos? So it says because of this, the chavite kohen gadol anyway are docha Shabbos, because you have to bake them on Shabbos based on the drasha of al machvas. So you know that the afiyah has to be in a kli shares, so the aricha and the lisha will be docha Shabbos as well, and you can use a chati isaron that has kedusha, that's a kli shares, as opposed to the shtei lechem lechem apanim, even though you bake them in a tanur shel mikdash. But since the Rambam holds that the tanur is not machshir them to become pasul belina, like we discussed yesterday, so mimela we don't find that the afiyah is docha Shabbos. So if you don't have as a starting point that the afiyah is docha Shabbos, then you can't build up to the next point that the lisha and the aricha are docha Shabbos. So that's why the lechem apanim and the shtei lechem, it's the lisha and the aricha are not docha Shabbos, the last Mishnah said, but this Mishnah says the chavite kohen gadol, all of a sudden velishen aricha ardo cheshabbos. It's all because of what are we assuming about the afiyah? What are we assuming about the baking? That by the chavite kohen gadol we have a separate drasha to tell me that the baking is doch cheshabbos. We have no such separate drasha by the shtei lechem and the lechem apanim. That's one point. Second point, we said the tchina and the harkada is not doch cheshabbos. So there is a halacha that the chavite kohen gadol needs to be revucha, that after it's baked, it needs to be boiled with boiling water or oil. So some of them, Farshim Rashi on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, says that it needs to be chaluta b'mayim rotchim. That's called revucha, boiled with boiling water. However, Rashi on Ayin Ches Amud Aleph says that no, not with boiling water, with boiling oil. That's what we call revucha. So the obvious problem is that it's a stira in Rashi. So that's dealt with. The Taras Hakodesh and Daf Ayin Ches says that Rashi, when he talks about boiling oil, is only going within a hava amina, but really the maskana Rashi would hold boiling water. But either way, those are the two possibilities what revucha means. So says the Or Sameach, the lechem, the water that needs to be heated up in order to do revucha, is that doch Shabbos? So says the Or Sameach, based on the rule laid out in our Mishnah, absolutely not. It's not doch Shabbos because that could be done with equal effectiveness on Erev Shabbos, and that's the rule. Anything that you could have done with equal effectiveness on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And the Or Sameach says, just like we find by Mila, that Mila is mutter b'Shabbos, but we're not allowed to heat up the water to prepare the baby or to bathe the baby, to keep the baby healthy on Shabbos. You have to heat up the water dafka may erev Shabbos, the Gemara says in Rabbi Elazar de Mila, I think. So that's the that's the Me'iri's point about an additional malacha that the Mishnah doesn't even mention over here. Fine, weiter in the Mishnah, kol menachos yesh ben maisa kli bifnim. All menachos have a maisa kli that's done bifnim ve'in behen maisa kli b'chutz. There's no maisa kli b'chutz. There's meaning Rashi says, what's the maisa kli? Lisha, Aricha, all that is done by Klisharis, and if it's done by Klisharis, it's done by Fnim. There's nothing done in a Klisharis by Chutz. Shtei Alechem, now we just get into the measurements of the loaves. Shtei Alechem, Orchan Shiva Tfachim, Verachvan Dalit Tfachim. The Shtei Alechem were 7 Tfachim long, 4 Tfachim wide, Vekarnoseha Arba Etzbaos, and the corners of the Shtei Alechem, which Rashi explains, show you madbik batzak lekal zavis, they would stick dough onto each of the corners, ken karnayim, like horns. So each of those horns were 4 etzbaos long. Lechem apanim, the dimensions of lechem apanim were orchan yud tfachim, verachvan hei tfachim, 10 tfachim long, 5 tfachim wide, vekarnosav sheva etzbaos, and the karnosav were 7 etzbaos. Rabbi Yehuda omer shlotita zadad yahaz. Rabbi Yehuda says an easy way to remember this, so you don't make a mistake, is remember the mnemonic Zadad Yahaz. What's Zadad Yahaz? Zayin, Dalid, Dalid. It's just a reference to the measurements that the Shtei Alechem were 7 long, 4 wide. The Karnosav were 4 etzbaos. Yahaz is the Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim were 10 long, 5 wide, and the 7 were the etzbaos of the Karnos. So the obvious issue is, first of all, Rabbi Yehuda, we find he's the guy that likes to give simanim. Rabbi Yehuda, he knows simanim to tzach hadash biachav. He's a big Rashi Tevis person. He thinks that if you give basic simanim, it helps the learner. That's what the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, that a person should always be nosing simanim l'Torah. The Gemara says Shabbos daf kuf dalet. So the Tiferes Yisrael just wonders, though, what kind of simon is this? Will this really help us remember it? Zadad Yahaz is only if you know the it's just saying the measurements 7, 4, 4, 5, 10, 5, 7, and you'll try to remember. You'll say, "Oh, it's something like Zadad Yahaz or Yadad Yahaz or Dadad Yahaz," or and you could very easily replace any of the letters with another letter, and it will sound pretty much the same. It's not a very effective way of remembering something. It's good. It's an easy way to remember it if you already know the answer. But if you already know the answer, you don't need to remember anything. So the Tiferes Yisrael, the Mishnayos, wonders what kind of simon this is. Meaning, bishlama, if the words mean something, that's how a simon normally works. The way we make the mnemonic is that the words that we make the Rashi Tevis out of actually turns into a word. But Zadad isn't a word, and Yahaz isn't a word. It's just saying the numbers. So the Tiferes Yisrael explains that no, they are words. Zadad is a nutrikun of Zedad. This is the dud, like the Dadeya Isha, that the Shtei Alech Lechem are like Shnei Shadayim. They're like the two Shadayim of a woman that she uses to nurse her children in the Eretz Zavas Chalav Advash. That it's like Chazal say, Havil Lefanei Shtei Lechem Batzeres in order Kadesh Yisborchu Lechem Aperos. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of showing us the Shtei Lechem is supposed to be reminiscent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us, that he's going to give us the Brach of Peros in Eretz Yisrael as a result of the Shtei Lechem. So the Shtei Lechem is Zadad. The Lechem Apanim is Yahaz, which is the Lashon of Huzim Shechuvim, which means that the Lechem Apanim are different than all other Menachos, in that they sit there lying there for a whole week. They're Shechuvim, they lie down there for an entire week on the Shulchan, and they're not Nifsal Belina. So the word Yahaz does actually refer on some level to the Lechem Apanim. So it is somewhat of a legitimate mnemonic to remember. Fine, says the Mishnah further now. Ben Zoma, that the lechem apanim are supposed to have walls to them. They're supposed to have panim. Now what we got to figure out is, now that we know the dimensions of the bread, we have to look at the dimensions of the shulchan and see if the bread actually fits on the shulchan. See how it fits on the shulchan. So the shulchan was 10 tefachim long and 5 tefachim wide. Lechem apanim orcho yud v'rachlo hey. The lechem apanim was also 10 tefachim long, 5 tefachim wide. No sin orcho keneged rachvo shel shulchan. So they would put the lechem upon him lengthwise across the width of the shulchan, and therefore they would have it should have a 5 tefach overlap that goes sticks beyond the shulchan. So what would they do? V'kovel tefachayim mechzu mikan v'tefachayim mechzu mikan. They would fold up 2.5 tefachim on each side of the lechem upon him to go straight up to make the walls of the lechem upon him, meaning flat the lechem upon him where it would have been 10 tefachim. But since they're folding up 2.5 tefachim on each side, so now the length is only going to be 5 tefachim, and that way it will fit on the across the width of the table. Nimtza archa memale rachva shel shulchan. So now the length of the lechem apanim fits across the width of the table. Div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Ramei Omer. Ramirez says, no, you got it all wrong. Hashulchan archo yudbeis v'rachva vav. The shulchan was 12 tefachim long, 6 tefachim wide. Lechem apanim archo yud v'rachva hein. Lechem apanim is, as we said, 10 by 5. Nosin archo keneged rachva shul shulchan. So you put the length of the lechem apanim, which is again 10 tefachim long, across the width of the shulchan, which we now said is 6 tefachim wide. So you should have a 4 tefach overlap. So what do? Kofel tefachayim ikan, utfachayim ikan. So you fold up 2 tefachim on each side. So, but wait a second. And how long is the shulchan? The shulchan we said is 12 tefachim long. But you're putting the lechem apanim across the width of the shulchan. How wide is the lechem apanim? Lechem apanim is only 5 tefachim wide. So if you have 2 lechem apanims, 5 tefachim wide, side by side, trying to take up a space of 12 tefachim, you're going to have a remainder of 2. You'll have 2 tefachim open. So it turns out, utfachayim, revach be'emtza, you'll have 2 tefachim of open space on the shulchan in between the 2 rows of lechem apanim. Kadesh shetei ruach min hashevis be'em. And you do that in order that the wind should get into it so that it shouldn't spoil. Abishol omer, shama yinos l'shem bezichei levona shlechem apanim. Abishol says, now that's where they would put the bezichei levona, in those 2 tefachim in between the 2 rows of bread. That's where the levona went on the shulchan. So amr lo, they said to Abishol, v'reik farnemur min hasatah Marechas Levona Zaka. It already says that you should put on the Marechas the Levona. That means, sounds like it should go on top of the breads, not in between the breads. So Amalem Abishol responded, Hari Kvar Nemar Va'alav Mata Menashe. Yeah, well, the Pasuk also says Va'alav Mata Menashe, and over there it clearly means Samuch. It doesn't mean on, meaning the word Al doesn't always mean on. The word Al very often means Samuch, so don't tell me that the Levona has to dafka go on top of the bread. So apparently the Machlokas Chamim and Abishol is where the Bezichei Levona go. Abishol holds that there was a revach on the shulchan of between the 2 rows of breads, which had plenty of space for the bezichei levona, and the chamel know that it went dafka on top of the loaves of bread. Now the mitzvah of lechem apanim goes as follows: the lechem has to be together with Shnei Kumtzei Levona that are put into these bazichim, and they're all on the Shulchan from one Shabbos to the next, and on the second Shabbos they remove the bazichim, they're makdir the bazichim on the Mizbeach, the Levona on the Mizbeach, and then they take the 12 loaves of bread and they give it to the Kohanim. Good? Now, we have said before many times already that this is supposed to parallel the normal avodah of a Karban Mincha. When you take the bazichim off of the Shulchan and you're makdir the bazichim, that's like taking the kmitza from a normal Karban Mincha and being maktir the komets. And the lechem, the 12 loaves, are like the shirayim of a Karban Mincha. Right? That's what we keep on saying over and over and over again. Mikdash Tavid has the following chakira. What exactly is the kmitza by the lechem apanim? Is the kmitza of the lechem apanim dafka by removing the bazichin? Or is the kmitza, which is the pashapshat, or is the kmitza simply separating the lechem from the bazichin? And it doesn't make a difference if you remove the bazichin from the lechem or the lechem from the bazichin. It's just the separating of the two ingredients that actually creates the effect of kmitza. That's the chakir of the Mikdash David. So the Mikdash David says, l'chora, according to Abishol, it holds that the bazich and levona were on the shulchan, were not directly on the loaves, so then you could go either way. Then you could say that in a chinami, removing the bread is a possibility. You could remove the bread from the bazichin, because the bazichin weren't sitting on the bread. But according to the chachamim, then it's a non-starter. According to the chachamim, the bazichin were sitting on top of the bread. There's only one way to remove the bread, and that is by first removing the bazichin. So clearly the kmitza has to dafka be done by removing the bazichin first. That's what the Mikdash David points out. One other quick point, Tosfos and says that even though Rebbe says al means besamuch, nevertheless, that's only true when there's a reason why you have to say that. But Pashtus Kavanas HaTorah means al means on mamish. It doesn't mean besamuch. It's only when there's some hechrich to say that it means besamuch that the word al can mean besamuch. So the reason why we say by lechem aparav nasata al ma'arechus levona zaka that it doesn't mean al mamish, that it might mean besamuch according to Abishol, right? So it's because that we're concerned that if you put the bazich levona literally on the bread, it could crush the bread and it will apostle the bread. So that's why there's a hechrech of some sort to say that it might mean besamuch. But we wouldn't stam just say the word al means besamuch. You don't teach the word al as being nearby. Al means on, unless there's some reason to assume that it might mean besamuch in a given context. So says the Mishnah Vayter, V'arbas, Nifin Sholzav Ha'yisham, Mufutzalim Rashayin Shoyos Muchim Rem Shnayim L'Seydezeh, Shnayim L'Seydezeh, that these four gold panels on the on top of the Shulchan to arrange the alongside the breads, v'chavches kanim kechatzi kanachal, and they had 28 poles, very tiny poles, arba esrei l'seydezeh v'yadal l'seydezeh, they had 14 for each side, for each of the rows of lechem apanim, lo sidra kanim v'lo nitilasim dochas Shabbos, but putting those poles in is not dochas Shabbos, putting them in and removing them, el niknas me'erev Shabbos, they would put them in an erev Shabbos, v'shom tov v'nosno la'orcho shel shulchan, and then they would pull it out and put it across the length of the table. And just in general, a last rule the Mishnah finishes off with, that all the Klei HaMikdash were placed lengthwise across the length of the Beis HaMikdash. They all lined up with the length of the Beis HaMikdash. Good, that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Kol Menachos Yesh Ben Maisa Kli Mi Bifnim. So we said, the Menachos all have a Maisa Kli Mi Bifnim. Shalu as Rabbi Zumi Nayin. So they asked Rabbi, how do you know? Amar Lahem Reyu Omer, Veyomer Elai Zeh Makom Asher Yuvashlu Sham HaKohanim. The way the Pasuk actually says, Zeh Makom Asher Yuvashlu Sham HaKohanim Es HaAshem Ves HaChatas Asher Yofu Es HaMincha Levilti Hotzi LaChatra Chitzona LeKadesh Es HaAm. So we just called Levilti LaHotzi end quote. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we darshan the pasuk. Mincha dum yadash mechatas. It mentions in the same breath mincha and asham and chatas. It mentions it all together. The reason, the girsa issue over there is just the order of chatas and asham, but both of them are mentioned in the pasuk. It's just a question, you have chatas before asham, why the Gemara quotes it incorrectly, we should flip it. It's asham before chatas, the way we have the pasuk. But anyway, the pasuk tells us, apparently it compares by saying in the same breath, a mincha and asham v'chatas. So ma asham v'chatas tunu kli, af mincha nami tunu kli. So just like asham v'chatas requires kli, bifnim, so too mincha requires kli bifnim, and therefore that's where Rebbe got the din that's mentioned in the Mishnah that all menachos require kli bifnim. Fine, hashulchan orcho asara. We said the shulchan, then we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. What were the dimensions of the shulchan? It was either 10 by 5 or 12 by 6. Some Rabbi Yochanan the divrei omer tvachaimu mechza kofel nimtza shulchan mekadesh chamisha asr tvachim lamala. So he said, assuming it was 10 by 5, what did we say? The lechem aparim themselves were 10 long, and they had to fit across the width of the shulchan. So what do? We fold it up 2.5 tefachim on either side. So that gave the lechem aparim 2.5 tefachim of height along the walls. So good. So says the Gemara, if that's true, there were 6 lechem aparim piled one on top of the other. Each one was 2.5 tefachim high. 6 times 2.5 is 15 tefachim. So you have to assume that the shulchan has the ability to be mekadesh in its airspace up until 15 tefachim above the surface of the shulchan, because the shulchan is being mekadesh lechem aparim. L'divrei omer tefachaim kofel nimtza shulchan mekadesh yud beis tefachim lamala. If you held that you only folded it up 2 tefachim on each side, so the height of the lechem aparim was only 2 tefachim, so then it would turn out that the shulchan is mekadesh 12 tefachim above the surface of the shulchan. So frek the Gemara, wait a second, but shouldn't it be more than that? Vayikakanim. We just said that they would stick these rods in between the loaves of bread so that they shouldn't sit on each other and spoil each other. We want to create a little airspace between the loaves of bread, so they have these golden rods in between the loaves of bread. Doesn't that add to the height in total? So it says Gemara, kanim shkui mishakaluhu. No, the kanim, these rods sunk into the bread a little bit. There was like a little niche in the bread that the rods were sunken into, so therefore they didn't take up any space. My time, oh, well, wait a second. What were these rods doing there? Mishumi afushe lechem, because we didn't want the bread to become moldy. Sof kamafish lechem. Well, that only helps if it actually creates a little airspace between the breads. If it's just sunken into the breads, and the breads are still sitting right on top of each other, well, then the rods aren't doing anything. So then what's the whole point of having the rods there? So demagvile porta. It has to be that it's a lifting it up just a little bit, that there is at least a tiny little bit of airspace. So frek the Gemara, vayika hu porta. So how can you say 12 tefachim, 15 tefachim? You're only taking into account, when you say those numbers, the height of the lechem itself. What about those little bits of airspace in between each loaf of bread? What about that height? Says Gemara, kivin d'lavi tefach lo chashev lei. Any height that's less than a tefach, we don't mention. Say nachinami, shulchan is mekadesh 12 and change or 15 and change tefachim. Not just 12 tefachim, 15 tefachim. It has to be a little bit more, but not enough more to bother mentioning. So that's why we don't mention it. But Yechinami, it is mekadesh that much. Frak the Gemara Vika Vazichin. What about the Vazichin? Aren't the at least according to the Shita that the Vazichin are placed on top of the Lechem? So isn't the Shulchan mekadesh the Vazichin as well? So therefore, the Shulchan is mekadesh more than 12 or 15 tefachim high. Says the Gemara, Begave de Lechem Avu Yasfei Ulbahade Lechem Avu Kaimi, that they would sit inside and right next to the breads. I mean, the vazichin didn't go above the height of the breads. There was either you have to say either there was a space in the bread for the vazichin to fit inside of it, but it didn't go above the space of the breads. So therefore, the vazichin is not a problem. Now, from the Gemara, it appears clearly that the shulchan is mekadesh the lavona that's put into the vazichin as well. Meaning, otherwise, what are we asking? We're saying no, the shulchan needs to be mekadesh more than 15 tefachim because of the vazichin. So obviously, we're assuming that the shulchan is mekadesh the vazichin. Now, the question, of course, is, why do you need the shulchan to be mekadesh the vazichin? The levona is kadosh from the vazichin themselves. The vazichin themselves are klei shareis. So that's Rashi's kasha. Rashi says the shulchan is mekadesh. You don't need the shulchan to be mekadesh the levona. The vazichin are klei shareis. They're mekadesh the levona. So what are you talking about that you need the shulchan to be mekadesh the vazichin? So Tosus is miyashiv that since the siluka vazichin is considered the kmitza of a kabar mincha, therefore the siluka vazichin is considered a siluk min ha-shulchan. The problem is, we have no idea what Tosfos means by that. So what? So how does he answer the question? So there are two explanations in the Achronim as to what exactly Tosfos means, as to what exactly Tosfos is trying to say. Karen Ora suggests that what Tosfos is trying to say is he's disagreeing with Rashi. Rashi said the shulchan is not mekadesh the vazich elavona. Tosfos is saying the shulchan is mekadesh the vazich elavona. That's what he's saying, that the shulchan is mekadesh the vazich elavona to serve as a single korban together with the lechem aponim, and that's that's why it's a kmitza considered from the same kli, because it's all, the vezichin the shulchan is mekadish the vezichin. Others say the mikdash David explains what Tosfos means to say is Tosfos modded Rashi. The shulchan is not mekadish the vezichin levona. It's just that the kavana of the Gemara over here is to say that you have to say that the shulchan's koach hakadusha reaches up until the point of the vezichin levona, because otherwise how are you being mekadish the mitzvah? How are you being mekayim the mitzvah of kmitza by removing the vezichin, which has to be a removal from the shulchan? Meaning, it's only considered a kmitza if you're removing it from the kli, if you're removing it from the shulchan. You're not considered removing it from the shulchan unless that's considered airspace that the shulchan has an effect on. If it's not considered airspace of the shulchan, well, then it's pointless. What are you doing already? So it's not that the vezichin become kadosh from the shulchan, but it still has to be considered airspace of the shulchan. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to mekayim the mitzvah's kmitza. Okay, vayter in the Gemara vika karnos, but what about the kronos? So it doesn't that add to the height, because we said that there were these few etzbaos of dough that they would add onto it. Says more, no, kronos legave de lechem kayaflu, velechem alayu nachle. The kronos were actually, it would go up, you'd have walls on the side, that was the 2.5 tefachim, then the kronos would go make like a little roof over the bread, as opposed to continuing to go straight up, so it didn't add anything to the height. Adrabah, that's where the next row of bread rested on, it rested on the kronos. Vika maskarta, what about the maskeres ha-shulchan? So command the Amr maskarta lematai. So we're assuming the maskeres of the shulchan, which was a tefachai, was below, and therefore it's below the surface of the shulchan. Ulamad yam maskarta lemailahai, and according to the shita that it was above, prukta yam mefrakta velechem begavi the shulchan of Yosef. It was like a prakta, and it wasn't straight up, it was tilted a little bit, klape chutz, and therefore the bread didn't sit on the maskeres. The bread sat on the shulchan directly, and the maskeres was outside of the shulchan. Kiditani Rabbi Yosi Yomer lo yisham snifin el maskarto shel shulchan ma'amedes es alechem. That Rabbi Yosi said the maskeres of the shulchan was ma'amed alechem. Amr lo, and they said no, maskarto lamata isa. The maskeres was lamata, was below. Amr Rabbi Yochanan ledivri amr maskarto lamata isa. If you say that the maskeres of the shulchan is below, tavla mispeches temeya, then you could bring a raya from the shulchan that a flat board that could be turned both ways, meaning that could be used on both sides because there's no base kibul, would be tameh, because then the shulchan, if the maskeres was lamata, the shulchan itself was a flat board. The shulchan itself had no base kibul, and yet it could be mekabel tuma. L'divrei amar maskarta lamala haisa, but if you say the maskeres was above the surface of the table, so that created a base kibul, because you had the flat shulchan with the maskeres, with this rim around it, that made it like a base kibul, and therefore, tavla mishapeches tibaylach. Therefore, you would have no idea, you would have no proof one way or the other, whether a flat board would be able to be, that could be used one on one side or the other, that could be flipped one way or the other, you would have no raya whether it's mekabel tumah or not. So mechal the shulchan bal kabuli tumahu. That whole statement of Rabbi Yochanan assumes that the shulchan's mekabel tumah, because we're saying, look, we know the shulchan's mekabel tumah. We're just not sure if the shulchan was just a flat board or it had a base kibul. But the assumption we're working with is that the shulchan could be mekabel tumah. So frankly, Gemara, is that so pashut? Kli eitz ha'asu l'nachasu. This is a kli eitz ha'asu l'nachas. Means it's a kli eitz. It's meant to just sit there and not to be moved. V'kol kli eitz ha'asu l'nachas in mekabel tumah. Any kli eitz that's not meant to be moved, that's just meant to sit there, is not able to be mekabel tumah. My taima, why can't it be mekabel tumah? Tumya de sak bina, because it needs to be similar to sak. Ma sak metalta moli v'rekon. Just like sackcloth is something that's only that's mekabel tumah because you move it when it's both full and when it's empty. It's movable. Afkol metalta moli v'rekon. So to anything that's movable when it's full and empty. Shulchan nami metalta moli v'rekon. Says the Gemara, but maybe that's why the shulchan is mekabel tumah, because it's metalta moli v'rekon. You can move the shulchan even when it's full. Where do we ever find the shulchan was moved even when it was full? Kid Reish Lakish, Dam Reish Lakish, Mai Duxiv al Shulchan at Tahor, Tar Mechal Dika Tamei. Tar implies that the shulchan is Tamei once, that the shulchan is sometimes Tamei. Where does that ever happen? That it could ever become Tamei? That it could ever become Tamei? How's it ever moved? El Melamit Shemagbino, Sala Ole Regalim, Umarim Balechem. It must be that it is moved. When do they move it? When the Ole Regalim come up to the Beis HaMikdash, they lift up the shulchan, they show everyone the Lechem upon him, Va'omrim Lem, look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. They showed them the miracle of the lechem apanim. What's the miracle of the lechem apanim? That when you put the lechem apanim on the table, it has the same it's just as fresh as when you take the lechem rabbanim off the table, it's just as fresh as when they had put it on. Shema lasum lechem cham biyom hilacho. So that's what they were showing off. So that's how you see that the shulchan was metalta maliv reikon, and therefore the shulchan is able to be mekabel tuma. Now, in this idea that they were magbia the shulchan for the olei regalim, the mishnah melech is medayik from Tosfos Maseches Chagiga that they didn't actually take the shulchan out to the azara and show it to the olei regalim. They lifted up in the heichal, and all the olei regalim saw it. All the olei regalim who were standing in the azara would see it from the azara, and they would look, peer into the heichal, and see it. However, the Mishnah Melech says the Rambam sheet is not that way. The Rambam sheet is that they would actually bring the shulchan out to the azara and show it off to the olei regalim. And he says that that's what the Yerushalmi means. Yerushalmi says hashulchan lama tameh lo mipnei shematzino so marno so la olei regalim. Yerushalmi says, can't the shulchan become tameh because motzino so they would bring it out and show it to the olei regalim. Bring it out sounds like they would bring it out to the azara, like the shitas harambam. The Radvaz in the Chuvah says, not impossible. They would never bring the shulchan out to the azara, because if they could, why would they lift it up? What was the point? And also, if it was possible to bring it out to the azara, why would they have to be mazir the olei regalim, not to be nogeh b'shulchan and be metameit? Let it just be tovel it. What's the big deal if it becomes tameh? You'll be tovel it like all the other klei mikdash. If it's no problem to move it around from one place to the other. Now there is a ritva. I think we've mentioned in the past. The ritva says that at the time that they put the lechem on the shulchan and when they took it off, it was so hot that there was steam coming out from it. And he says that you have to say that way, because otherwise, what were they showing them? Bread looks like bread. I can't tell if it's hot, if you're showing it must be that the olei regalim saw that there was steam coming out of the bread. So the Radvaz in the Tshuva says he's never seen steam coming out of a full loaf of bread. You slice open hot bread, steam comes out. If it's closed, steam doesn't come out. So he doesn't understand. He said, according to the Mishnah, you have to say that was also part of the nace, that there was steam coming out of it. Okay, so that's the question of exactly what this nace was, what the nature of the nace was. Here's Shem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.